And I know we can talk some more about your big news conference yesterday, but moving along, I know another story just this morning, apparently a body found in the Gardenway area. I guess we have identified that victim now, which we just had a story that we put together on that. And that individual is 37-year-old Jason Beamer, who was found in the 1000 block of Gardenway. That was last evening. No information regarding the case unless further investigation reveals a death to be from other than natural causes, but they are asking for tips and right. comments that way. So
yeah, these are always sad events, but those are the sorts of things that we get called about at the 911 center, and so we always respond, I would think, appropriately and call EMS, and we go. In this particular instance, we met just briefly this morning, and I know that we tend to put that information out, and I just so the public knows, here's why we do that. In the past, before we became, in an attempt to become more transparent, we're putting this information out. In the past, when we were doing that, a lot of times what would happen, and I think you can probably attest to this, we would get calls, you would get calls, hey, what's going on over at, and they give an mm-hmm. address, or a 100 block, or an intersection. Because there's all sorts of police cars and ambulances and fire trucks and, you know, what's going on down there? Well, in an attempt to forestall some of that and, again, be a little more transparent about what we're doing, I think that last night, if you follow our social media, you would have seen that we put something out about this and said, hey, you know, we have an unexplained death in the area of such and so. Officers are on scene checking on it, that sort of thing. But, of course, the question that creates is, oh, my gosh, what happened? Well, we're probably not ever going to be in a position where we think it's either necessary or frankly, appropriate to report to the public about those sorts of things in any sort of intimate detail unless there is some sort of crime involved. And then more information may come out. And in fact, I think you just looked at something that said we don't really anticipate releasing anything else unless there's some, what was the phrase you used when you looked at it? Unless there's some
additional information that shows it's other than natural causes.
That was it, other than natural causes. So the other thing I think that may be of some interest to the general public is anytime we come across a call like that, we tend to treat those generally like there's a crime. Because if you go to the scene and don't treat it that way and later discover that was the case, then you've lost a lot of the evidence, the information that might have been available had you handled it as if it were a crime. And it's, believe it or not, it's not always clear when you get to those scenes precisely why someone may have passed away. So in an abundance of caution, we handle those all as if it were a police matter until we can determine that it's not, unless upon walking through the door you can immediately determine that, you know, this was a natural causes issue. And so that requires a lot of coordination and back and forth with us and EMS and doctors and all this sort of thing. As it turns out at this point, and I just learned this from Captain Hagerty this morning, who's our investigations commander, it appears that there was nothing nefarious going on there at this point, but we're still doing a little bit of work on it to try to pin that down. So that was the reason. That's the reason information like that goes out, is to let people know what's going on so they don't have those questions. But on the back end, unless it turns out that there was some criminal act or something like that, you probably won't ever hear anything else, but at least you know why people were over there, why emergency services were over there in the first place.
And you're right. It seems like we frequently will get calls about what was going on at such and such. I've tried to leave you folks alone as much as possible because a lot of times it is nothing.
But I've begun to notice that when I show up out here, you ask me that question less, which tells me that maybe some of what we're doing in terms of trying to get it out to the general public helps. And then I think most of the local media and some media that's not local also follow us on social media. And that's another method we use to alert the press to say, hey, this is going on. And again, it's a transparency issue, because if we can say to them, when we know about it, as soon as we have enough information to notify you about it, we will. And then those sorts of social media posts generate questions to us from the press, because now they know to ask. So I think it's probably better for everybody that way.
Well, while we're on the subject of social media, I know you do have a new public information officer.
We do.
And
You've met her, I believe.
Yes, I have.
Yes, and just so that your listeners know, Kathy was on the hiring board that helped us interview our new press officer, public information officer, whose name is Haley Rowland. And so far, she's doing a bang-up job. You know, we talked a little bit about the press brief we had yesterday. So she shows up on the job, I think, a week ago Monday. And a couple of days after she shows up, we toss this in her lap and say, hey, organize this. so baptism by fire, I guess. But she did an outstanding job. She's very affable, very outgoing, very open, and I think people in general, as they have occasion to interact with her during the course of their work or hers, will find her to be they'll find that she's beneficial for everybody.
She worked in TV, actually.
She did. I think we got her from a TV station down in Wichita. That's a little unusual. Our past public information officers have all been sworn. However, when we initially created that position going back, 3 years now, maybe? I don't remember off the top of my head, but that's close. We looked at it and said, well, you know, this is done two ways. Now, I myself have gone to the International Association of Chiefs of Police Conference regularly. And when we were starting to look at doing this, I went to they offer at that conference what they call different tracks. So there's a track for small city chiefs, which Manhattan is by their definition. And there's a track for public information officers. And there's a track for police chaplains and psychologists and all this sort of stuff. So I, for a couple of years, made it a point to attend some of those PIO tracks to figure out what everybody else was doing since we were thinking about, bringing one on board. And as it turns out, there's roughly a 50-50 split between organizations who have PIOs who are sworn and organizations who have PIOs who don't. And the ones who have PIOs or aren't, the ones who have PIOs who aren't sworn generally draw them from either print or visual media. And in our case, we were lucky enough to get Hallie away from a television station in Wichita. As it turns out, I guess her husband is in the military and stationed here at Fort Riley, so she was looking to get a little closer to him, obviously. And so we're glad to have her. She's been doing a good job for us.
On the same note, though, I do want to say kudos to Alexander Robinson. He's done a terrific. I've enjoyed working with Alex.
Yeah, Alex, he's an interesting, funny guy, and you don't have to follow us very long to know he's got a good sense of humor. But that's part of the trick, is to talk to people about, frankly, stuff that can be kind of boring at times. I mean, cop work people think is always exciting, but it's not. A lot of it's really kind of boring. But how do you make it interesting? How do you make it both interesting and insightful? And he's done a good job of that. Now, when Alex came on, we had a pretty good inkling all along that he was going to be just kind of an interim public information officer, sort of a transitional person who filled it after our prior PIO, Matt Droege, went to work at the, I think he went to the school district over
Gary
in Junction.
County, yeah, right. the schools over there.
Right. So Alex, when Alex said he was interested in that position, he also said, look, you guys need to know that I'm trying to decide whether I want to stay on the cop side or whether I want to go to law school. as it turns out, he went to the dark side of the force and went to law school. My apologies to attorneys everywhere. but he's decided that's what he's going to do. And so we weren't particularly surprised that he was going to leave, but we're sad to see him go nonetheless, because in a short amount of time, he did a good amount of work for us.
A lot of young people. I know, of course, I have most of my reporters are quite a bit younger than I am, and they all just really enjoyed. I mean, he did a thing on sitting in a hot car for a certain amount of time just to show people what it does. And then hopefully he had someone standing outside.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Make sure if he passed
and he had
out,
another cute one with your intern about seatbelt usage.
Yes, I watched that video. I just laughed when I saw it, where she's lecturing. He's complaining about he didn't see that curve coming up. She's like, it's a curve. It doesn't move. It was funny. So
why don't we take another break? It's 9:32, and again 537-1350. I know you want to talk about the shooting range, and you have a presence at the county fair too.
We do.
So you're listening to In Focus News Radio, KMAN.